What's going on, everybody? It's After the Snow, back at you again. I'm your co-host, Dave Mays. I'm the creator of The Source magazine many, many years ago for some of y'all. And also the co-founder and CEO of Breakbeat, which is a network that produces and distributes this podcast, After the Snow. And I got my co-host with me, by my side, my main man. Yeah, Freeway Rick Ross, the legend. The legend.
We rocking.
Yeah, man. Man, good to see you.
You too. How you feel?
Feeling pretty good. You know, been busy week, but getting things accomplished. Breakbeat is growing. I'm excited. I wanna shout out to just the whole Breakbeat lineup. You know, Don't Call Me White Girl, Mona. Been doing her thing since we first launched. You know, Bill Bellamy, the new podcast, is doing incredible. He's doing an amazing job. That's going to just get bigger and bigger. And my boy Chris with Trapping Anonymous, I think his show is amazing. And, I think that's going to go places. And Funny Marco with the Cornbread TV, of course, that's been blowing up these last, you know, month or two like crazy. So we're putting our stamp out there, our mark and our stake in the ground. So, you know, people are noticing.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing, man. We just got to keep pushing that thing in the right direction.
Yeah,
get
man.
Get this after the snow out there.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We came up with some more good ideas for that. We didn't have the guest this week that we thought we were going to have, but we do have a lot of interesting plans. And you will see some guests coming in the next few weeks here for sure.
Yeah, I think the networks might have something to do with the guests not wanting to come on from the show and chop it up with us. You know, it just seems obvious, you know, because they're hitting us back. You know, they're getting in touch, talking about how much they respect me and appreciate me giving them their props.
I heard our man Oso, I forget his name, the actor that plays Oso, showed you a lot of love on Instagram recently, how much he respected you and was happy that you had reached out to him.
Yeah, he did, man. And well, you know, he's one of my favorite actors on the show. I like the character that they wrote up for Oso, and I think that he's doing a great job.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to connect and put it together and get him on here. I'd love to talk to him. But tell me about your week, man. I know you had a big weekend in Dallas.
Oh, my goodness, man. Dallas was off the change, man, off the change. First of all, shout out to my man Desi. He threw a party down there for us Saturday. Crazy at the House of Blues. Man, oof, we was all over the place, Dave. Me and my man Anthony Peterson, you know, we trying to get Anthony that fight with Ryan Garcia, or either Telefimo or Josh Taylor, one of those guys. Ant don't care who it is; he just wanted to perform. You know, he said he's an artist, and when he gets in the ring, he performs. But it was a Golden Boy show. We went down there to one of my guys, Kid Austin. He fought on the show and he got a 6-round knockout. And in my personal opinion, and I know my opinion might be a little biased because, you know, because I work with him, but he had the best performance of the night. You know,
wow.
Sergio Ortiz was the main event. But in my personal opinion, Kid had the best performance because Virgil's guy didn't want to fight. You know, he was running and trying to stay out of the way. You know, it wasn't you know, an equal match where you know, you want to see an equal match where both of the guys are equally skillful. Man, we did the radio station who we do the radio station with, man? I forgot who it was. I did the radio station. I did so much, man. I did about 4 podcasts.
DD in the morning.
No, it wasn't D.D. in the morning. D. Ellis. We did D. Ellis and Smooth V. D. Ellis and Smooth V, 94 something. But you just, man, it was just off. Dallas is just, you know, Dallas is just crazy, man. You know, those Texas cities are starting to become, you know, like the new Atlanta, you know, Houston, mm-hmm. Dallas, San Antonio, you know, they're more modern. The streets are easy to navigate through. And I believe that they're going to take a lot of Atlanta's fire, man, if Atlanta don't improve soon. Only thing Texas needs is that cannabis right now. Right. And they're talking about that. They're talking about bringing cannabis in. So, you know, we had a great time, man. Stayed in one of my partner's mansion the whole time, you know. Aunt riding around in the Bentleys. You know, he had two Bentleys, so one day Aunt drive one, the next day he drive the other one. So we just had a good time, man. We just you know, eating good food, good vegan food. They got some great vegan restaurants in in Dallas. Great vegan restaurants.
Can't wait to go out there and try them.
Well, you know what? Aunt may be fighting in Dallas October the 1st. So if he fights in Dallas October 1st, man, you got to come out, man.
Come down
there and support your boy. Well, you know, Gary Texas Payton said that he's coming to the next fight. Next one of my guys that fight, Gary Payton, say he's going to be there. So,
GP, the legend.
Yes. He's coming out and hanging out.
Nice.
But, man, I just been having a wonderful time, man. You know, I spoke to Reginald Hutton the other day. So, look like we're finna go ahead and lock down a director. That's the next move. We got to lock down a director. And hopefully, man, we're going to have the cameras rolling here in a couple months. I got my fingers crossed.
Man, me too. I can't wait.
We had a big guy. Matter of fact, a big, big, big guy, you know, from the music industry. And he does music. So I ain't going to tell who the name was because I don't know if they signed the deal yet and if they want me talking about it. But they called me yesterday, and he was in the office, and they was working on his deal to be a producer on the movie.
Good shit. That's what's up, man. I can't wait.
So we cranking up, man. You know, things is cranking up. And then last night, my truck rolled out to get its first load of cars. So that was another accomplishment, man. I've been trying to get drivers for my diesel trucks. So I got one going now, you know. So I was proud about that, man. I followed him all the way to the freeway. I couldn't believe finally I got a driver to move that thing.
Oh man, nice. So man, it sounds like a busy but productive week. And your fighter with the 6-round knockout, what's his name? And do you know his Instagram or?
Kid Austin.
Read it.
It's Kid Austin.
That's his Instagram. Kid Austin.
Yeah, Kid Austin.
Well, shout out to Kid Austin. Congratulations on the big win.
Yeah. Look for big things from him. You know, we figure maybe 5 more fights, he'll be ready for a title fight for one of these big guys, you know, making the crazy money.
Season 2, episode 5. So we're halfway through the second season. The episode title is Serpiente, which I'm pretty sure is the Spanish word for serpent. I didn't look that one up, but I'm not very good with Spanish, unfortunately. I would love to learn Spanish. But I think we can safely say.
Yes. I second that.
Yeah.
Good.
So, I mean, you know, it's obvious that Serpent is going to be relevant with the storyline that we see developing with Oso. Speaking of our guy Oso, and thank you, Tarek, for informing us of his name so I can shout him out properly. That's Sergio Perez Mencheta. He's the actor that plays Oso, so I want to show him some love and respect. Yeah, we really love your work and your character. We see that
this show start off with him too. Remember at the palm reader?
It does. Yeah. Yes.
With him getting his palm read.
He's telling him. Right. And he picks the serpent card right at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about he picked the car. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's warning him about there's some things, some danger in front of him.
Yeah.
To be careful.
Yeah. She was right, as we find out, you know, for sure by the end of the episode. But there's a lot of things going on. I don't know if they all relate to the serpent. I guess while we talk about it, we can see, because maybe there's some other snakes laying in the grass around here for some of these other characters. But I mean, this was a pretty exciting, you know, dramatic episode in terms of some of the plot developments that take place for an episode five. To me, it felt strong, because a lot of times it feels like shows kind of start to hit a lull. They come out the gate strong in these series, you know, and they end really strong, but it's hard to keep it, you know, exciting throughout the middle that we're in right now. So I thought there were a lot of pretty interesting developments. So we could talk about those. You know, one was the return of Avi. That's one of the first things we see when the episode gets underway. Avi shows up at Franklin's crib. I think it's his mom's crib. I wasn't clear where he was, because there was nobody at the house, and Avi and his guys surround him and, you know, putting some pressure on him.
It did look a little weird, you know, because it did kind of favor his mom's house a little bit, but you really couldn't tell if it was or not. One of the things that really shocked me about Avi coming in the community, he coming in the community making it rain, you know, throwing money up in the middle of the streets, you know, like. He wanted everybody in the neighborhood to know who he is, where he was at. You know, it was just a little strange to me that somebody would come into the community who's selling dope and would be in the middle of the street throwing up money. Not saying that it's impossible, but, you know.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. It is interesting that you point that out.
If he did that in front of my house, I'd been so mad. You know, when you're selling dope, you don't want any tension around your house. You want as less attention as possible, you know, for somebody to be – having everybody looking at what you're doing, you know, would definitely be uncomfortable. But it didn't look like Franklin was concerned about that. He was more concerned about, why did Avi come over there?
Yeah, he was definitely seemed like he was nervous, because he didn't expect Avi to get out of jail. Avi popped up on him. Avi wants to know, basically tells him, okay, we're back to business. You know, now that I'm back, same thing. I'm going to see you next week. And, you know, just trying to feel him out, put a little pressure on him. And, he looked pretty.
He put a lot of pressure. He put a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
He was applying the pressure heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was talking about pouring gasoline down the guy who ratted on his throat and set it on fire. And, I mean, really, he was giving Franklin one of those Godfather offers, you know, one of those offers you can't refuse. You know, like, we're going back in business, the price going to be the same, and everything going to be just like it used to be. So, to me, that was almost like a Godfather offer, you know, like, motherfucker, you take it or else.
But what did you think about how Franklin handled that? Did you think he, you know, came off a little bit too soft, or?
I thought he came off soft, you know. I could understand, right at that time, you know, Avi had the upper hand on him, you know, because his guys were there. Franklin didn't have nobody with him, no protection and nothing like that there. So I could understand you kind of cowering down a little bit. But he kept it going even after he got with Teddy, which is what really really alarmed me. You know, you're talking about a guy who's running South Central LA right now. You know, and he has the power of South Central, you know, the gangs. So when you have that kind of power, you don't really cower down to nobody.
Right. Like we were talking about earlier, when he finds out his mom has taken a job at this local diner, and he shows up on a job and he flips on the old man that's complaining about his coffee, throws the coffee down in front of him. And, you know, he didn't have that same energy when it came to Avi.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, that's kind of like almost bullyish, you know? Like, if it's somebody that got some iron, I ain't gonna say nothing back to him. But then if it's a little guy who, an old man, you know, I'm gonna slam his coffee on the table and dare him to say anything.
Right, right.
Which the guy was in his right for asking for his coffee. If he paid for it, or if he was gonna pay for it, give him his coffee. So you can't get mad at the guy because, you know, your mom chose that job.
Right. Yeah, he was pissed about everything. I guess, you know, his dad showing up also kind of threw him off. He's not really sure how to handle this new relationship with his dad, or his dad being back in the mix. And, you know, he's dealing already with the fallout with his mom. And now the dad's in the middle of it all. So I think that has, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but you can't be, you can't keep a grudge, you know, if somebody messes up. You know, it's like, come on now. If the guy turned into a dope fiend, you know, he somehow got strung out on dope. And then, you know, and I guess, you know, they don't really know how he got hooked on dope. You know, his son probably don't really know how people get hooked on dope because he's really new in the business. But you have to show some kind of concern, you know, with somebody that is on drugs. You know, you have to give them some kind of concern and some kind of benefit of the doubt. You know, like, you know, he's still a good person. It still could be a good person just because they're on dope. You know, just because they're on dope don't mean that they're no good slime ball. And that's kind of how he was treating his dad, as if his dad was a straight slime ball. And if he's never done anything right, I just thought it was kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just finishing the thought with Ivy, after he leaves, Franklin is meeting with Teddy and wanting to know what's going on. How did Ivy get out? You know, Teddy, well, as he calls him, Reed, still at this point, Reed is telling him that he thinks Ivy cut a deal with the feds. Franklin wants to know how did, you know, Reed find this information out. He's really paranoid. You know, he's, you know, is he going to set me up? And, but, you know, they have Reed give a few of those lines that you get in Snowfall, where he says, oh, you know, Ivy's rich and he's white, so that's why he's able to get away with all this and get out. And then they have Franklin saying, you know, oh, well, you know, basically white people don't have a good record with my people, so, you know, I shouldn't be trusting you. And he says, you know, white people are afraid of black people, it should be the other way around. So, you know, they get their little, you know, their little stances in at these moments as well. But what'd you think about all that?
I thought they was both kind of corny, you know, like back then nobody wasn't even really talking about race, you know, especially not in the hood. You know, we didn't deal with the court system, so we really didn't know at that time, you know, that the court system wasn't blind. Wasn't colorblind. You know, you only learn that out once you go to court. And as far as from where I'm at in the show right now, Franklin hasn't had any interaction with the courts or really the police, I guess. Well, I guess he did have a little interaction with the police when Leon got shot. I guess that was a little interaction. But for the most part, you know, he hasn't had any police contact, any court contact. So how would he, what would give him the idea that whites are treated different than blacks, or blacks are treated different than whites? You know, you only know that when somebody either tells you or you experience it. Right. And from here, we haven't shown experience neither one. If I'm not wrong, I mean, I don't think we have. Have we?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, the closest police contact we had is with the next door neighbor. You know, he probably put the most most pressure on Franklin as a police officer. So, you know, and he didn't have him like when we were growing up, you know, cops would make us sit on the curb, you know, that was kind of like a normal thing in L.A., you know, to make black youth sit on the curbs, you know, or young people who were driving while black, they would make them sit on the curb and things like that there. But so far, they haven't showed any of that in the series of how blacks were being mistreated.
No, not at all. I guess we could jump to one of the other big, you know, occurrences, dramatic moments in the episode, which is the shootout with Stomper that takes place. So Stomper, remember, runs the Monarcas, the big Mexican gang. They're the ones that they got to help them kill Lucia's uncle and family so that they could take over the business. And they're helping them move the product. So I guess he shows up to make a pickup and, he sees Pedro there. And he makes a little smart comment to Pedro about how's your family doing, you know, that type of thing. Pedro had some words, and that basically said, also our boy also stepped in to try to defuse it, but Stomper wasn't going for it. Stomper pulled the knife out, put it to Oso's neck, and next thing you know, there was a shootout. Stomper, I think one of his other guys, are dead. Lucia gets shot in the shoulder, and it's a dramatic moment in the show for sure.
Well, that's when we see Pedro's girl take charge. You know, she kind of took charge in that situation. And
Soledad.
Huh?
Soledad, that's his new girlfriend's name.
That's her name, Soledad. Well, Soledad took over in there, you know. Her police training came into effect, and I think that tipped everybody off to who she really was.
Right, right. That's what we see at the end with Lucia telling Oso she's a fed, a cop, something or other, you know, because the way she handled that situation. She's very, very worried about everything now, how they're going to get out of this one. And we'll see.
I was really wondering why they really didn't make an arrest, you know, like, because technically they were responsible for Stomper's name death. You know, if you kill somebody, if somebody gets killed in the middle of a crime here in California, you know, whoever was committing the crime with them is responsible for that death. So technically, they could have wiped Oso and Lucille's criminal enterprise out right there. They would have been done. Three murders, you know, they'd have been in jail forever. They never would have got out for that.
Well, because what they try to say in the show is that, you know, well, she's working on getting the bigger fish and they're building the case. That's why they ain't done nothing. So in a situation like that, do you think they would still come in and make the arrest to get some leverage to try to turn them? Or do you think they would maybe fall back? You know, I mean, overlooking a death like that, or two deaths at least, is a pretty big deal. But
three. Yeah.
Okay.
It was three of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I find that kind of bizarre and kind of hard, because what they would have to take in consideration is by leaving Lucille and Oso on the streets was a danger to the community. And the reason I say that is because where they go, violence happens. Even if they're not the one perpetuating the violence, they're still associated with violent acts, and violent acts is taking place around them. So if they're in the drug business and they know they're in the drug business and these type of things are taking place, they'll definitely take action. I think they definitely would take action on that.
So that was a big thing. They show them burying the bodies at the end. Pedro, I think, also took Pedro to help him go bury the bodies.
But, they got bodies strolled all around the city, man. L.A. full of bodies. Then we got Teddy hopefully with two bodies. We got Oso with bodies.
Right.
What's the other guy that that Teddy killed? He had killed the three girls. And we got bodies everywhere, man.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man. So, what else? What else in this episode? I want to talk a little bit more about, let's talk about Louis and Claudia and Jerome. It's not the major storyline, in this episode, but, Louis with Claudia, she left Jerome. Jerome got some chick over the house that's, you know, cursing him out and leaving. You know,
we call him hood rats.
Meanwhile, Louis apparently just got back from a Christmas week in New York City, where she was wined and dined, first class shopping, everything all over New York City. Claudia done swept her off her feet, and she Louis wants to stay with
it.
Claudia.
And Louis says she's loving it.
Yeah, exactly.
Louis, so I ain't going back to cooking your rocks.
Yeah, she's looking more glamorous and everything now. And Franklin's trying to get her back. He said, "Man, things ain't the same without you. You know, we need you. I miss you, but we need you."
And she told him, "Y'all gonna do all right.
Yeah,
y'all gonna do all right without me." Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. A chain of events. But I don't think that Franklin used the right technique to get her back. You know, he never offered her more money. You know, I never heard him say, "Well, we're going to give you more money. We're going to increase your pay number," or none of that. You know, he just basically went back kind of like almost, you know, just feel like she's just going to come back because he's Franklin. You know what I'm saying? No benefit when she's getting all these benefits now. You know, her life has changed. But I guess once they start rolling in the game, then she'll see the benefits and change her mind probably.
We'll see. We'll see if Uncle Jerome is going to step up and do something to get her back, because he don't seem happy. But, so there was that. And really the only other thing I thought about that I wanted to bring up was, like, I feel like Franklin is starting to get, you know, some kind of a sense of who Reed or Teddy is, or that, you know, the level that he's on. You know, when they go, we didn't really follow up on that, but when they go to see Avi, and Teddy takes him up to see Avi, and Teddy says, "Look, Avi, I'm the one that approached Franklin. He didn't cut you out and come to me." You know, he's trying to squash that, but he starts speaking Hebrew to Avi a couple of times. I know Franklin was like, "Damn, this dude freaking speaks Hebrew." And he knows information. When they talk later, he's telling Franklin, I think he made a deal with the feds. And, you know, I got a source at the police department and different things like that. So, I'm feeling like Franklin is started to get some sense that he's dealing with a higher power. And I guess, you know, I wanted to see what you thought about that, but also really bring that back to your personal experience. If there was any time at all where you had any kind of inkling or feeling like there was a bigger kind of picture or somebody pulling some strings behind the scenes.
Nah, you know, when you're selling drugs, you want to pat yourself on the back that you're the reason that everything is going the way it is, and kind of, I guess, it's ego. You know, your ego is playing a part in it, and you just feel like it's you. You know, you feel like you're making the right decisions, and that you figured the game out. You know, I used to figure that I had the cops a number, you know, where I knew what time they were going to hit. You know, like, say, for instance, at one time the cops were hitting around 7, 8 o'clock at night. So what we started doing is we started cooking our dope up at 3 and 4 in the morning, you know. So just little things like that, trying to stay one step ahead of what the cops are doing and try to maneuver.
So, yeah, so, you know, this was another good show. I think we had a good conversation today. Looking forward to next week as usual and more good things. I don't know. Was there any other things you saw during this episode that we didn't touch on yet?
Well, one of the things that I'm gonna hype on a little more is that after his dad cleaned up, Franklin Steele didn't open up to him and gave him a chance. You know, I thought that was kind of fucked up on his part, you know, and his dad was really concerned about not himself, but, you know, helping his mom save the house that Franklin had grew up in. And I thought Franklin should have showed more passion to his dad. You know, my dad, I didn't know my dad, but I still, you know, whenever I saw him, I always showed him respect. And I feel that that's something that Franklin should have showed more respect to his dad. I thought he was very disrespectful to his dad.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that kind of on the earlier part of the season, you know, when his dad first showed up and when he seen him on the street and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this one was, you know, it's different now. The dad seems to be doing better. And even Franklin's mom is seeing that because, you know, she ends up, instead of kicking him out, telling him to stick around, let's go make some dinner. She's starting to feel like he's maybe changing for the better, finally giving him a chance at least.
And she said too in one of the statements that this was the easiest he'd ever been to work with.
Right. She said that to him. Yeah, she said to her husband, she said, out of your whole life, this is the least you've been of a burden on me while you've been staying with me. So
exactly. Well, your memory good. You remember word for word what she said.
You know, I take notes when I watch the show so I can remember as much as possible, you know. But yeah, that was.
That's why I'm glad I'm doing this show with you, man. I don't think I would have did this show with nobody else.
Nah, thank you, man. Thank you. And thank you for posting that thing about me today, too. I meant to tell you that on the phone earlier, but yeah.
No doubt. Well, you know, I told you I had a lot of admiration for you even when I first went to prison, man. When I got to Phoenix, Arizona, my first time in a penitentiary, is when I got a hold to the source. And I admired your work from that day when it was only two. The thing about it, I saw your vision. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to see your vision through those couple of pages that they had. It was two black and white pages, and I saw the vision. So
great minds think alike.
Keep doing your thing, man.
Yeah, well, as I've said many times before, man, it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to work with you like this on a weekly basis. And, you know, I think you're an amazing person. We've got to know each other a lot better, and I have even more love and respect for you. But just knowing your story and what you went through and what, you know, how significant you are to the history of things in this country, you know, you're like a national treasure that needs to be preserved, you know, at least up until we really get some things changed around these parts. And you know what I mean? Bring some real change out here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And that's our goal, is to change that mindset.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, well, shoot, man. Next week we'll be back after the snow. This is the podcast. You can, if you're listening to us, you know, you find us on Apple, Spotify, any podcast app out there. If you're watching, of course, you're on the Breakbeat Media YouTube channel. You can check us out on Instagram at Breakbeat Media. I'm at The Real Dave Mays, at Freeway Ricky.
Yes, that's me.
We thank y'all for tuning in.
Send us some comments. Let us know what y'all want us to talk about, which guests you want us to get. Come on, y'all got to help us out. We need some help.
There we go. Thank you. Peace.